When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, Coach, welcome to Coach Unplug. I'm so excited you decided to join. Before we jump in, I'd like to do a couple things. First of all, listen to our other podcasts. Go over and check out High School Hoops, 5-Minute Basketball Coaching Podcast, the Funnel Down Defense Podcast. You will not be disappointed, trust me. And go leave a 5-star review. We love those. Also, before we jump in, I want to make sure I give a shout out to our two sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market, bar none. They are awesome. They rock the world. Mention Coach Unplugged, they'll give you $400 off. Just mentioned Coach Unplugged or Coach Collins, and they'll take really good care of you. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. You know, it's something I started because it was something I wanted as a coach. It's got everything, helps pay the bills for all of these free things that I put out into the world, but it's got everything that I would have wanted as a young coach, you know, from someone that's still a high school coach and has won at every level and won the state championships and been nationally ranked and all those things. It was something that I thought other coaches could use. And that's why we're the only ones that offer the 14-day free trial, because we want you to go kick the tires around. We want you to see the roadmap that we have set up for you to become a better basketball coach. There's nothing else like it in the world. And, you get me, you get one-on-one calls and office hours and all those things with me. So go over and check it out. I don't think you'll be disappointed. And let's head off to the podcast.
Also, this is a sneak peek of one of my one-on-one calls with one of the coaches at teachhoops.com. I can tell you in about 25 minutes, I'm going to be heading off. I'm overlooking the Crystal Lake in New Hampshire, and I'm going to do a one-on-one call with a coach that wanted to get together and discuss some basketball. So I do these all the time. I'm here to help. 14-day free trial. Go over and check it out.
In your video section, you have videos with a bunch of different coaches in there, but yep. One of them happens to be the defensive part, happens to be Mike Beck.
Yep.
You know Mike?
I don't personally know him. The guy that I got the videos from had him come out to Minnesota and film them.
Okay, because he's my brother-in-law. We grew up.
Oh, wow. Basketball together. Wow. Yeah, Dan Ninham is the guy that had him come out there. And then he was still a high school coach when he filmed those.
Well, he was at Finley in Vegas, and then he went and did some D-League stuff, and now he's at Texas San Antonio.
Does he like that?
He does. Yeah, he does. When he was at Finley, I mean, I don't know how much you followed him there, but he had Tristan Thompson and Corey Joseph. And
it's like running a college program.
It absolutely was. So, I mean, he's still coaching Division I, but he was with high major guys.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and kind of a mid-major thing. And he likes it. He does. he likes the guy he's coaching with. He's the associate head coach there, and I don't know the guy's name. He really likes him though. He's enjoying himself. Here's the thing: he still lives in Vegas, but so he's away from his family. I mean, he goes out there for most of the year in San Antonio. He has a daughter, Maddie, who's the same. We had daughters at the same time. My daughter Gabby is 19 right now, and his daughter Maddie is 19. She's special needs, but I know him being away because he was away when he was in Idaho with the D League.
Right
now he's away with it. That's getting a little bit hard. I mean, I know he really looks hard for some.
It's such a hard. People don't realize what a hard gig that is. It's so it's truly
that has to be the priority in your life. I mean, if you want to, I don't want to say if you want to succeed, but if you want to keep moving out, you have to put that in front of
everything. People have asked why I didn't make the jump when I had some opportunities. And it's like, I wanted to see my kids grow up.
That's exactly it. And that's 100% it.
I don't want to be in a gym in July.
Well, and he is, he comes here, he'll come out and visit. We live in Michigan, up in Northern Michigan, and he'll come back tailored where we grew up. He'll see us for about a week, but I mean, he's on the phone constantly. He's on the phone with recruits and he's talking to the coach.
So are you in the UP?
No, we actually live just south of the Mackinac Bridge. It's a small town called Gaylord. We're about 30 minutes south of the Mack Bridge.
Okay.
So we're kind of, you know, we're up there at the top of the tip, kind of the Mack.
Yeah, I know. I know where that is. I have relatives who live in the UP, and then we've been to Mackinac Island a couple times. We love it.
Yeah. It's gorgeous. The business I own is right on I-75. So if you were driving through there, you drove right by.
You get about 3 good days of weather up there, and that's.
you might be underselling a little bit by about 2 days.
It's crazy.
Couple questions I had for you.
Yep.
Starting off, I listened to your podcast the other day. I mean, I've listened to all of them, but I listened to one the other day when you had Torbert on.
Yeah.
You were talking about the read and react, and I've been doing that. Just a short, quick background. I've been coaching at my high school. It's a high school that Mike and I both played at. We both graduated from. I've been coaching there for about 10 years. I've been the head coach of basketball. Last year was my first year. I've been the volleyball coach and the softball coach for quite a few years. But last year was the first year that I was
the basketball. So it's a big difference moving one seat to the left.
Well, yeah. I mean, here's the thing. For 4 years prior to that, and I know this is going to sound really goofy to you, I was the offensive coach. I called every offensive play. I called every offensive play. The other guy did all the defense. So, I mean, it wasn't a huge.
It wasn't as big as a lot of people it is. Yeah.
Yeah. No, and the group that we had that came through this year was, I've been coaching those girls since they were like third, fourth grade. So, I mean, we've been running read and react for years.
Yep.
I have to agree with what you say. I mean, there's so many layers that you can get, it's like going down a rabbit hole.
So here's my theory with the read and react and talking to Rick. Rick's an awesome guy. I'm going to have him on hand. Literally, him and I could still be talking. That's the way it kind of works with Rick. It's crazy. But he is like, he's like you and I talking to a professor of European history. He just knows it so well that he can't even relate to the world that we live in. You know what I mean? That he knows all the counters. I don't have time to do all the counters. I don't have to do all those layers.
So, I mean, it's one of the questions I had for you, but this is just it in a nutshell. The group I had last year, I mean, I lost 5 seniors. I mean, in this group, they graduated, but here's how people defended us. We were small, extremely athletic, high basketball IQ. We played full court, man. We just run and jumped all the time.
Yeah.
Got into fast break quite a bit, but when we did set up in half court, it was always read and react. I mean, and so consequently, we ended up losing in quarters by a couple points. So we were 24-1 or whatever the heck it was. 22 of the games we saw zone. Nobody wants. So one of my questions, and I'm not going to ask that right now, I'm going to wait, is about zone. The team that beat us played man, and they basically did a pack line. They shoved everyone in the paint, and it's girls basketball.
Right.
And I don't know, you know, we're a small school. We got about 100 kids in high school. Like I said, athletic, great ball handling, pressing's never an issue, none of that stuff.
Yep.
They knew if they shoved 5 people in the paint, we can't hit 15-footers long enough to stay in a game. I mean, they took away the rim, which is the read react will give you the rim. And I agree with everything.
And it gives you the rim and the kick too. So do you spend a lot of time shooting threes?
Well, you know what? I tried it because I could see I could see the writing on the wall after about the first 5 minutes. That wasn't going to be the answer for it. So we really tried to do some things. We were screening people, back screening people, trying to do some things to create some situations. We were trying to draft drive the shit out of them, but just could not. I mean, they left their 6-foot girl
in the paint. So I call it's like a one-man zone. I
I've done that too before, where you just leave them and you say your sole purpose is to protect the rim and that's it. So, what always goes through my head in those kind of situations is how can I got to figure out a way to get buckets because I'm not going to consistently get them in my office.
Right.
So I got to, so it's not going to be the half court stuff. That's where I'm going to maybe even give you some buckets. I'm going to try to turn you over so I can get your run and jump. Switching presses, you know, maybe out of bounds plays, those kind of things I think are really helpful.
Well, I mean, and I agree 100%. And I mean, through the whole course of the year, this year was something a little bit new for us, but we started to do that run and jump and we did it full court. Girls took to it. They're a bunch of soccer players. I mean, they took to it great. And we were, you know, and I watched your video on that. I mean, we did that and then some. We were always trying to, you know, stay above the ball and so here's what they did. And, you know, sitting back now, it's really easy for me to sit and think about how we should. I mean, they basically clear out. I mean, they knew what was coming. So they got the ball into their guard and everyone go. So the girl they throw it in. That girl would start to dribble just enough to get us to double. Everyone's cleared out. She'd kick it over to the girl, threw it in. And now we got no one rotated up to track.
You know? So you're worried about going into next year. So here's what I would do. Well, are you going to be taller next year? Are you going to be the same type of
team? We're going to have four athletic girls, not as athletic. We have one of the starters back and three girls coming in that are going to be very athletic. Not quite as, but I mean, pretty close. But then we're going to have one big slow. I mean, we've got one big. Well,
so, yep. So then you should zone press and you should play some 1-3-1 probably.
Well, I was already going to the 1-3-1 route.
Because you can put the big girl in the middle and all she has to do is go free throw line to L. Bot. She basically does a triangle. She doesn't have to move very far.
We did that a little bit. And what we had success with is when I had her fronting everything.
Yep. She has to front because then you make the skips. And if you've got athletic soccer girls, you say, as soon as that ball gets airborne, you're trapping. And then they're going to skip it to the opposite side and then you're coming at them.
Okay.
And that's where, I think the clear out the zone, full court pressure, you know, I've had NBA guys on my team and I can't full court diamond. I always pull it back to like the free throw line or the top
quarter.
You know, I have never had luck running it like on a make and then getting in that first press.
Do you always predicate, I mean, what you're going to be in by make, miss?
Yep. So it depends on how, if your girls are really smart, you can do make, miss. That will freak them out. You can do left, right. It will freak them out. But they got to have a pretty high IQ to do that. You can yell it out. It doesn't matter. As long as you have two or three presses that you have, you know, you could even go a 2-2-1, which is a little bit more conservative.
I mean, my 1-5-9-5-10 girl, I mean, she's the big. Other than that, we're small. I mean, we're little.
But what you're doing is you're giving them. So here's what I've noticed over 30 years is when you're in the man press, they've got that all set up and they're going to clear out and it's one and it's hard to run and jump. That will work if you have one or two counters to it. It's like the read and react. You can either do this or this or this. Mm-hmm. It's the same when you're pressing. Here's my counter. Now I'm going to 2-2-1 you or I'm going to. And they're not gonna be ready for all the things that you've spent 5 months doing because they haven't had time to prep. The clear out thing is easy. The pack line is relatively easy. But if you're switching between, you know, three different calls or you played man half the game and then you go to a 1-3-1, you know, I do that at the end of a game sometimes. Freaks people out, but we've been playing man for half the game and we're up four with 30 seconds to go, and I'll go to the 1-3-1. And my coaches go, what the hell? I go, I'm doing it to slow them down because all of a sudden they're kids. They're going to take a really bad shot, or they're going to figure out, oh, shoot, they're in a 1-3-1.
Right.
What am I going to do? And then it takes 10 seconds to figure out what to do, you know, and then we can all rematch up. So that's where I think those counters, because what happens is I didn't see the game, but my guess is they got kind of in a routine and go, ooh, this is working.
Exactly. Coach on the film, a lot of times, if it was a sideline down by her side, she'd be, you know, clearing everybody out.
Yep.
And, you know, in the heat of it, I'm trying to get some girls to roll up. It just, you know, I didn't do a great job communicating exactly what we wanted to do, but hindsight's 20/20 and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
So let me ask you this. I'm gonna incorporate some sort of zone press. Being that I'm four littles and a big, are there any zone presses that lend themselves to maybe not necessarily needing height to be effective? I know that may sound stupid.
Well, I think it's more about how aggressive you want to be. Like a 2-2-1 is not tends to not be as aggressive, and you're not going to get burned if you keep that deep girl. If they keep the big girl.
The thing though, I mean, we're talking about doing this because I don't want to play half court offense. I mean, here's the thing: I don't want to because people are play a zone against us to make a shoot, or they're going to play a back line to make a shoot. So yep. I want to get everything out of 85 feet I can get.
Yep. So then you diamond. I think you definitely diamond because she's going to be back then. So, okay. You know, the yeah. four of them, it's a zone. They're basically playing a zone. You know,
do you have one of those videos? I mean, anything that you would say really encapsulates the ins and outs of that on your defense?
No, but I will do something this summer for you for sure.
Okay.
I'll do something. I'll write myself a note.
Okay.
Because people have asked about the diamond. I have a lot of stuff on the 1-3-1, but I'll definitely do some stuff on the diamond. Okay. But hold on. I was just drawing it in my head here. I would play it where the back girl, your 5'9", 5'10" girl is just back. And then those four girls, you kind of convince them. This is what I've done with some of my teams too. It's like, we're still running the run and jump. It's just a zone. Mm-hmm. So they go outside where our spot, and they won't try to dribble through it. That's the kicker. Right. They won't try to dribble through it because they'll see it's a zone, and that will automatically slow them. That's what you tell the girls. It's like, that's what we want them to do. Because then we're sitting, you know.
That makes sense.
Hold on. Let me show you here something. I always talk to my teams about, and my drawing's not going to be very good because I didn't hook my thing here. Let's say that I'm going to draw the diamond here. We'll start it, put one here, and we'll put one here, and we'll just put one here. My circles are horrible.
Yep.
But anyway, so what we do is when we trap, so if she comes down the side and we trap with these two, okay, mm-hmm. there's only three. I always tell, I don't know how you teach to run and jump, take those three angles away. We don't care. We don't care if she goes this way. We want this angle, the middle angle, the side angle, basically, those three away. We don't, they're not going to make a long pass at big girls here. So
I will defer. I will give up. If I have to give up something, I want to give up a reverse.
Yes.
I want the ball to go backwards.
Go backwards. So that's what you got to kind of convince the girls that it's still the run and jump. The run and jump is, you know, why I like the run and jump is there's no, it's not concrete. You don't go here.
No,
and I said, I'm teaching you how to play basketball. Well, you got to kind of convince them that when we do the diamond, that you're doing the same thing. There's teams in our league. I'll yell out, get in the zone. Cause I literally want the other kids to know we're in a zone. Cause it slows them. It does. It's just something in there. I'm not sure what it is, but I would definitely do diamond for sure.
Okay. Right.
And I'll do some stuff this summer on that. And I would tell the girls too, especially if they buy into what you're saying and say, let's think about last year and what happened wrong. And they'll call you. They're smart. I mean, and I said, well, how can we fix this? Well, if you guys can hit 15 footers, no one can do that. Right. So let's get in and get some shots up. You know, that I think you got to sell it as we can do whatever you want next year. You know, we have to get the shots up.
So let me say this, and I agree 100%. I mean, you're not gonna become good at anything involve repetition. I mean, so, you know, and I've been trying to, and I tend to overthink stuff. That's just, I'm a little OCD, so I tend to overthink things a little bit.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I've been trying to find like the magic bullet is get in there. We got this warm up down, and then we're gonna get shots from here, shots within our offense. I mean, is it basically just boiled down to repetitions and getting shots?
No, and the thing is, I just got a new Dr. Dish, one of the pro ones, and it's all apps and it keeps track of it, and my son's kept track of its makes and misses. I think the kicker with it is they have to know that they put the time in, took and made the shot. How it is on a piece of paper, because then you as the coach can come back at halftime in January and say, you know, I've grabbed my own son and said, I've seen you take 10,000 threes, shoot the damn ball. It's like shooting free throws. It's so much up here that 100%. You think you're Steph Curry knows every shot's going in.
Exactly.
He
can be looking sometimes. He can be looking out of one eye.
It doesn't matter. So there's two things for summer for me. It's about repetition so I can sell them and convince them that they can do it. Teenage boys are a little different than teenage girls, but there's a lot of similarities. And the second thing is it's about bonding too. If there's ways that you can do the shooting and then take them to breakfast, or there's ways you can do shooting, do something else with them, they're going to buy in. I'm telling you. I'm married to a psychologist. Half this thing is being a psychologist.
Well, I mean, there's one thing, 99% of it has been with girls, and that's one thing I've kind of figured. I mean, I played, like I told you, I played with Mike in high school. I went off and played college baseball, and we had a bunch of college athletes on that team that we all played on. But the one thing I found out different about boys and girls, boys have to play good. Yep. Girls have to feel good about themselves before they can play good.
Yes.
I mean, that makes any sense at all.
I'm telling you, I coached girls volleyball for 7 years.
Yeah.
It's about the relationship, and then they'll run through a wall. They'll literally anything.
Yeah. I told you we've been doing the read and react for a while, and I want to stick to it. I don't want to have to use as much as I do because I need to generate offense other places. We talked about that.
Yep.
I mean, how do you feel about the dribble drive? I mean,
I like the dribble drive. I just haven't had dribbler. I mean, it works. And again,
I know in the read and react, what did he call it? When you power dribble, you know, I didn't like that as much because when I get a handoff, I want it to be fast. I want my girl coming like off the corner, like in football. I want her, when you get that handoff, I mean, so we were doing it turned into like a dribble drive kind of a hand going and she's turning. So, I mean, and they really took to that. And that seemed to, when people would play us, man, that gave us a lot of open lanes kind of to the hoop. But I didn't know how you felt about that. I mean, I do have ball handlers. My four littles
are all like that, but I think you're going to have, I mean, again, I would go back to the girls. I would tell them that we can't really run this unless we shoot the ball because no one's going to man it. And the second thing is you got to figure ways to get clear. I had some sets where I just cleared out. Like if you run the read and react for a little while and all that movement, and then all of a sudden some sort of call, and you just clear outside and you just let them go. No one's there because they're all worried about all these movements. You can dribble attack. We didn't dribble attack very well this year just because we didn't have the ball handlers. If you got guys or gals that can turn the corner, I would definitely do that.
I do. I will say that.
But I wouldn't man you.
No.
I haven't talked for 20 minutes. I'm zoning you the entire game.
So there's my next question. I have a 5'9", 5'10", who can shoot from about 3 feet. Okay. I mean, I would say she's a reasonable shooter from about 3 feet. Strong.
Can she get a pass? Can she catch a pass?
Sometimes.
Okay.
You know, so I mean, we're really people when they play us a zone, they do not leave. It's just like a pack line man. They do not leave the paint. They're saying either you're going to shoot us and beat us with a 13, 14, 15 foot jump shot. And we ran the read and react against that a lot a couple of years ago. We were cutting and pinning and skipping. We were pinning the backside. Bottom, at the end of the day, you're still shooting a 50-foot jump shot. I don't care. Yeah. Third pass, after a skip, whatever it is, we end up with the same thing. You're still shooting jumpers. I don't know if there's a way around that.
There is no magic bullet for that. If you find one out, let me know. We'll make a lot of money. Because basically, basketball is about matchups, and it's about taking things away. You know, we have a kid in our league this year that's a top 10 kid in his class in the country. Literally unreal. We're going to take things away from him and make him do things that he doesn't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
If the other four guys beat us, they beat us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what they're basically saying to you. If you hit 15-footers, you're going to beat us. But we can't beat you if you shoot layup. They're taking something away. That's like the chess match part. There's no offense if they're going to put five people in the paint. There's no offense that I can diagram for you. Other than the stuff you're talking about, pins. There really isn't. I mean,
no.
I wish there was.
I've beaten my head against the wall for the last 4 or 5 years. You know, because this group, the group that I had that just graduated, and they're the same as the group that I have left. I mean, they can put it on the floor. No one wanted to play us, man. So I've been trying to find a zone, some kind of zone offense. But at the end of the day, it always seems like no matter what I do, what's left open is the 15-footer.
That's where the shooting. Well, there's a couple things too. You got to find other free points. So I'd work a lot on out of bounds plays. I'd have a lot of tweaks on out of bounds plays because I mean, what are your scores in the 40s?
Well, you know. Well, you know, we averaged, I think, almost 60 points a game. I mean, our girls get out and go. I mean, they really get
out. So let's say you're in the 50s. If you can get 10 points, that'd be 5 buckets on out-of-bounds plays. You know, that's a fifth of your outtake. That can all of a sudden pump you up.
I'll be straight with you. My blob sidelines, we were getting it to get it in to get into our offense. I don't run those a lot to score. And obviously, I mean, what you're saying makes – a bunch of sense. If they're going to take away my scoring opportunities,
you got to figure other ways to score. Like we're going to go tiny, pull the big girl out. We're going to go with 5 littles and we're going to let you go ahead. You shoot a layup. Go ahead. We're just going to cause chaos, you know?
Right.
I mean, you could always go to the Grinnell, but the Grinnell thing is all based on the Grinnell up and down is based on being able to shoot the ball too, though.
You know how many times I've read that book, the system, you know, that book that's about that big. I mean, this group that graduated and this group now, I mean, outside of the fact that they shoot about 20% from three. I mean, I do have the girls that can run at that pace. Here's the thing, but this year, last year I had a pretty deep bench. This year I do not have a big bench.
That's why the zone press will help because you can rest them there. And then maybe you can run some zone where the four girls are. So you need to counter what they're doing to you too, in my opinion. Right. And you basically need to leave big girl home to protect the paint, you know? Yeah. And when it gets into half court, we're going to run our run and jump in the half court. We're going to leave her underneath the bucket. She's going to protect the paint and we're just coming at you.
Yeah.
Like, go ahead. You shoot a 15 footer. Cause then we're going to get the ball and go before you can do anything.
Two big questions. And then I want to get them out and you can answer them whenever you want to. But I say before, last year we went primary break into our read and react. We didn't really want much of a secondary. I wouldn't mind doing a primary, a secondary into the read and react. Do you think, knowing what you know kind of about what we have, would you just come down and get right into your read and react if they are playing as man? Or do you think there's a benefit?
It sounds like you want pace.
Well, so I do.
If you want pace, you want the ball to go off. You want this. I wouldn't worry about the secondary unless you're trying to get the big girl shots at that point.
I guess it depends. You know, she is a house. I mean, she's a house. Yeah. And you know, one game she'll have 20 and she'll be, you know, 7 for 10, and the next game she'll be 2 for 12. I mean,
that's normal. That's so bigs too. And you know, the development for her between junior and senior year will be huge, in my opinion. I would tell the girls too. I mean, I've done this with boys teams. It's like, if we're gonna run, let's go. First open three. If you get one on the break, take it. You know, but the girls got to be confident and feel like they can hit it.
Right.
And then we're just gonna crash the board because if you go the other way, go ahead. Because we'll just grab it and go the other way again. You know,
commit four to the guys.
I commit. I mean, if you're gonna go, commit them. All of them. All right. I mean, you're gonna get some easy layups because that ball is gonna bounce all over the. I mean, it's a long shot, and if they're shooting 20%, those shots, some of those are going to be like boom, boom. You know, so it's like, and I always tell them, I mean, yeah, it's the selfish time too. It's like, everybody go. We're out here having fun. You know, you sell the whole fun. Grinnell, let's go. You know,
I talked to Peck about that. He can't stand that. I mean, when I talk to him about it, he throws up his mouth every time. But
he's coaching a different you know, different world too. You know.
Let me ask you this. I agree with you that we need to find other places within the game to make up buckets that they're taking away from our offense in the half court. Now, if we're talking baseline out of bounds, would you or do you run the majority of your sets out of the same formation to give it to make it a little more difficult for the defense, or is everything varied? It's a box. It's a four low. It's a four high. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Recently I've gone to everything being out of the same set, but it doesn't have to be that way.
Found more success.
Yep. And I break my seasons up into thirds. First third is one set, and then I add and get rid of. Next mid third is another, and then I have one or two tournament ones I love, and then the last third. So I break. I keep changing the entire season, and we'll spend. Okay. Between that and situations, we'll spend an eighth of our practice on quick kick, out of bounds plays and situations. Yep, put it on the clock. Let's go. What, you know, we're not going to be like the Cavs and not know what the score is because we practiced it. And we don't make $14 million like he does.
All right. Well, I mean that kind of basically in a nutshell is what I wanted to ask you about. I wanted to ask you a little bit about our defense. I mean, I told you what we did last year and what we're kind of going to be a little bit limited this year. And offensively, the read and react, I like it. The girls know it. But again, when people see us walk in the gym, they just go put five people in the paint. So I agree with 100% with what you say that we need to maximize every other portion of the game where we can get a basket to make up for what we might be losing when they jam everyone in the paint.
Right. And the thing is, I think you have to go into the mentality of summer is going to be about shooting, and this is the hard part. I've had a hard time with this too, because I don't do as many drills and breakdown stuff as I used to because I just don't have as much time. I think you have to look at your season and think, how are we going to get shots up the entire season? You know, because we're going to come to tournament time and we're going to have to hit some shots. And I got to just – the girls got to get repetition just like they're getting in the summer during the season. And it always seems like weight training and shots are the two things that always get lost during season because we're working on everything else.
Yep.
You have to like somehow consciously make sure that maybe on top of every one of your practice plans, make sure we shoot today kind of thing. Yep. You know,
when you get towards tournament time or when it starts to, do you start to pare down your practices? I mean, we start at 2 hours. End of the season, we're hour and 30 minutes.
Hour and 30, and it's a lot more film stuff. It's a lot more cerebral stuff. It's a lot more, let's talk about this. Let's walk through their offense. Here's their out-of-bounds play. You know, those are some things, too. If you're, I don't know what the scouting rules in Michigan are, but if you can scout some of those teams that are doing it to you and know what they're going to do, then you can counter with traps. Like, this is their out-of-bounds play. When they do this, we're coming at them. You know what I'm saying? We were talking about ways to make scoring opportunities. Maybe they have a quick hitter that they always run or that kind of stuff. Well, we know they're going to pass it here when they do that. You know, we're going to rotate, you know. So that's where you got to kind of – it's like a chess match. They're doing this to us. Well, we're going to do this to you to figure out how we can get some
puck. That makes good. You mean you give me a lot to think about. So
Well, we'll get – you think about it. We'll get back on the phone in a couple months then.
Okay.
But whenever. Right. Whenever you want, for sure.
I tell you, I appreciate you taking the time, especially on a 10 o'clock on a school night. I'll agree. Your website is a fantastic resource. I mean, I do a couple different – I mean, I tell you what, the videos you have, all the ones that I've watched, and I probably watched – probably half of them, all of them. There's a million of them out there, and it seems like the ones you found are pretty straightforward.
Yeah, I'm gonna add too. The thing is, I just wanted to get this up to see if there was people that wanted it, and now that I know that people do, I'm gonna do it as courses. That's what I'm working.
Hey everybody, I hope you enjoy it. Make sure you subscribe. We would really appreciate that. Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen, those 5-star reviews mean a ton to us. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. Have a great day.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.